Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Exiled by Craig Halloran. Narrated by Tim Campbell. Chapter 1. With a cool air of the higher altitude in his face, Nath let out a joyous howl. Wow-wee! He was flying, not under his own power, but something vastly bigger and more powerful, with great wings that spanned over 100 feet. Those wings flapped with mighty strength, propelling them higher and faster. They were dragon wings, the wings of his father. Go faster, father! Higher! Nath's strong voice was almost drowned out against the wind that rushed through his hair.
If we go too high, you'll get too cold, Balzerth, the dragon beneath him, said. His voice was easily heard, rich, loud, and full of wisdom. I can't have you freezing to death on your 100th year celebration.
I'll be fine,
Nath slapped his father's broad neck. Balzerth's scales were red, some flecked with gold, and shone like newly polished armor. 2 grand horns adorned the top of his head. He was huge, magnificent, and most importantly, the king of the dragons. Nath climbed up between the 2 horns. Standing on the top of Balzerth's skull, he wrapped his arms around one of the horns, which was much taller than him.
Higher, father! Higher!
It's your celebration day.
Balzerth's long neck bent, turning his face in Nath's direction. His golden eyes were bigger than Nath's own head.
Hold fast, son. I don't want to lose you.
I will, I promise.
Balzerth gave a nod. His wings pounded the air in slow, monstrous strokes, lifting them higher and faster. He punched through the clouds, plunging them into a sea of mist. Seconds later, they broke through the mist and the clouds stretched out like a field of cotton below them. He skimmed the top of the clouds, then rose even higher. Nath's flame-red hair whipped like a banner behind him. The wind stung his eyes. His heart raced like a team of horses. Tingling with energy from head to toe, he spread one arm out wide and let out another elated cry at the top of his lungs.
Wowie!
Balzerth continued upward. Nath's teeth chattered. His nose and ears felt like icicles. He didn't care. He loved flying with his father. Nothing in the world thrilled him more. But he dreamed of flying on his own one day, to soar through the heavens on his own. Nothing could be more wonderful.
Are you getting cold yet? Balzerth asked.
With his teeth clacking together, he replied,
No.
Ha!
Balzerth's huge body shuddered with rumbles from laughter. He turned his head slightly and puffed out a blast of steam. The gust of hot air warmed Nath up instantly.
Ah, he moaned, that felt so good.
Together they rode the skies for hours. Balzerth blasted through flocks of birds. He dipped, dived, and barrel-rolled. Nath clung to his father like drying paint. Nothing in the world could wipe the smile from his face.
Father, will you take me over the cities? I haven't seen them since I was very little, he said.
Balzerth's scales rippled beneath Nath's feet. For a moment, his wings skipped a beat.
You are still little.
No, I'm not. I'm 100 years old.
Nath pulled a lock of his hair from his mouth with his finger. That's older than most people live.
How do you know that?
Mayfawn told me.
That elf has a big mouth, Balzerth grumbled.
She said elves, aside from dragons, live the longest, as much as 1,000 years or so. The dwarves and gnomes live for centuries, but humans and orcs whittle away long before they are 100. She says that is because they are so inferior. She says they live foolishly and lack self-control.
Mayfawn says a lot of things she should not be saying, Balzerth said. I need to have a talk with her.
Why?
Well, there are many things that I prefer are not mentioned in Dragonholm. The elves are our guests, and they need to follow the rules of the dragons.
Balzerth's head dipped. He scanned the forests and grasslands miles below them.
The world of the races is very complex, Nath, and I don't want the elves telling you about them. The elves that served us have proven good and trustworthy, but their view of the other races can be jaded. I prefer to teach you myself when the time comes. Do you understand?
Is now the time?
Soon.
But I want to know now. They sound exciting. Mifon says I look like a human. She says I look like a young man or old child, but I'm man-size. You know, big. Balzerth shook his head.
You still have growing to do yet. Be patient.
Ugh! Nath rolled his eyes. But you sleep sometimes 5 and 10 years at a time. Can't you tell me more now? I'm 100. That's older than most people ever live. I'm ready to know, Father. You've even said it yourself.
Nath imitated Balzerth's deep voice.
You're never too young to be ready.
At least you say that in regards to my chores.
We'll talk about it later, Balzerth said.
Beating his wings harder and faster, he picked up speed. Swept away in the moment, Nath closed his eyes as they dipped down and went higher, and spread out both arms. For several moments, it felt like he was flying on his own. His body spun in the air, and he plummeted toward the earth. He caught a glimpse of his father. Balzerth was going up. Nath was going down. He stretched out his arms and yelled, Father!
Chapter 2 Back facing the ground, rushing to greet him a few thousand feet below, Nath looked skyward to his father. Balzerth's humongous frame had become little more than a speck. He called out again, shrieking in the wind, Father! Father! He lost sight of his father when he passed through the blanket of clouds. Spreading his arms and legs out, he twisted in the air, rotating himself so that he faced downward. The tree seemed so far away at first, but they were getting larger. Guzan, this is bad! His effort slowed his fall as he cupped his hands while keeping his chest toward the world. Everything below him that had once appeared beautiful and peaceful now rushed upward, ready to destroy him.
Father!
Nath's cheeks flapped against the gusting air. The wind roared in his ears. He spun out of control. The green treetops of the forest no longer appeared like somewhere he could make a soft landing. The trees spread apart, revealing seams and cavities of sharp rocks waiting like gnashing teeth that would swallow his broken corpse whole.
Father!
Seconds from being dashed on the rocks, 4 small metallic blue dragons, half the size of Nath, darted in from nowhere. They latched their talons onto his wrists and ankles, their claws dug deep into his skin as their wings beat, slowing Nath's death-defying fall.
Ow, he said, wincing. You don't have to wound me, though I am thankful, little brothers.
The group of dragons flew Nath upward, making a straight line for Balzerth, who just burst through the clouds. The Dragon King's golden eyes smoldered like cauldrons of boiling gold.
Oh. Take him to the ground, my life-saving blue razors.
Flying alongside them, Balzerth glared at Nath.
You and I are going to have a long talk.
20 feet above a clearing in the forest, the blue razor's talons released.
Whoop! Nath landed hard on his feet and fell down. Eyeing the dragons who just saved him, he said, You could have been a little gentler.
The blue razors flew in a tight circle, flicked their tongues at him, then darted away with alarming speed. In 2 seconds, they were out of sight. He dusted off his hands. A tremendous shadow fell over his shoulders. Tree branches popped and snapped beneath Balzerth as he landed right behind him. Unlike most dragons, Balzerth's arms and legs were longer, giving him a more human-like appearance when he stood.
That was a close one, wasn't it, Father?
Sitting on his rear legs with his front arms crossed, Balzerth said,
You could have died.
I know I'll never die if you were around.
Nath dusted off his knees. Balzerth's tail swept Nath off his feet. He flipped head over heels, landing hard on his rear end.
I do not command power over life and death. Who will protect you when I am not around, Would you have pulled off such a stunt if I was not there,
He snorted out a hot blast of air.
No, of course not. So why do it at all? You did this the last time, and the time before that, and you wonder why I don't take you flying more. I wouldn't have even considered it today if it wasn't your 100th year of celebration.
Balzerth's tail rose over his head. It hung there for a moment, swaying a little from side to side. Then wham, it came down like a great cedar.
I thought you would have wised up more by now. I am disappointed.
Nath shrank beneath his father's heavy stare. The hard scales on Balzerth's heaving chest heated to a brilliant orange color. At any moment, Nath expected flames to explode out of his father's mouth. He'd seen those flames before. The purifying, scalding heat destroyed anything it touched in an instant. With his head down and trembling, he said,
I'm sorry, but I just want to fly like my brothers and sisters.
You still have a defiant tone, Nath. You lack patience. And you know, Sultans of Sulphur, you know that you cannot fly without wings. Do you see the wingless Red Rock dragons try to fly?
Balzerth poked him in the chest with a massive talon.
Do you? No, because that would be foolish.
Nath's trembling stopped. He sat up cross-legged. Well, that's only because all they do is bask in lava. They're the laziest dragons I've ever seen.
They do more than that. You just don't pay attention.
Nath rolled his eyes. I know, I know. The Red Rocks protect the border and enrich the soils. He picked at the grasses, plucking out handful after handful and tossing it aside. I don't think they're capable of much more.
They serve their purpose.
And what is my purpose? I don't even know that. You won't tell me. I know I'm a dragon born a man. The only dragon who talks to me is in the Mountain of Doom.
Don't call Dragonhome that.
Fine, then. Nath held up a finger. Let me rephrase. The only dragon that talks to me in the Mountain of Boring is you. All of the other dragons ignore me. Why that is, I don't know, and you won't tell me. But I'm positive that it's because I don't have any scales, and they do.
I've seen you engage with the other dragons plenty of times. You wrestled quite well against them. It makes me smile when you do that.
They don't like me. None of them do. They treat the elves better.
Friendships and trust take time to build. Dragons can be very picky and peculiar.
That's an understatement. Nath hopped up. When do you see it? When you sleep, 1, 5, 10 years at a time? And look at this. He showed Balzerth his wrists. They were bleeding where the blue razors latched onto him. They didn't have to dig into me like I'm some varmint they snatched from the trees.
That's the thanks they get.
Balzerth shook his head.
It's hardly a scratch. And don't try to deflect this argument away from the subject at hand. You did something foolish, and you will be punished for it.
I'm sorry. And I'm glad I'm saved, just surprised. I didn't think other dragons really cared. Nath picked up a rock and chucked it high over the trees. But it's my celebration day.
Yes, and you need to make the most of it, because tomorrow you will reap what you have wrought.
And what will that be? Balzerth lowered himself and said,
Get on. You'll find out tomorrow.
With his shoulders slumped, Nath climbed onto his father's back. Please, please, please don't let this day end. Chapter 3 With sweat on his brow and running down his back, Nath dug the shovel into a pile of coins. They clinked together with a distinctive metallic sound unique to the precious metal. He dumped the hundreds of coins into a half-empty wooden wheelbarrow. This was the 20th load of the day, and the huge pile of treasure didn't look any smaller now than when he started. He kept digging, dumping in shovelful after shovelful of gold and silver coins, accented by countless precious stones such as diamonds, emeralds, rubies, and pearls. It wasn't all loose coins and gems either, but necklaces, bracelets, tiaras, chalices, silverware, and gilded china plates. Shirtless, Nath stopped shoveling and dabbed his face on a towel woven from gold-colored cotton. I hate this punishment. It's boring. I'd rather have the dragon switch taken to me 100 times than this. His eyes swept the massive chamber. Treasure was stacked almost as high as his chin from one side of the chamber to the other. Back in the corners, it was stacked up even higher. His father once told him that this treasure throne room had more treasure than all of the kingdoms combined times 100. Nath had never had a hard time believing it, but now the treasure just seemed to sit there useless. He shoveled until the wheelbarrow was filled over the brim, dropped the shovel, lifted up the handles, and started pushing. The front wheels squeaked as he went down the paths between the piles. The sound echoed off the towering arches of the vaulted ceiling. The chamber had to be plenty big for the largest dragon of all, Balzerth, and there was ample room for him there, even when he was standing. The chamber could hold 2 dozen dragons the size of Balzerth if needed. Rolling by Balzerth's throne, Nath came to a stop. It was a huge, armless and backless seat made from polished stone. It was more than big enough for Balzerth. Its design was simple, all stone, with some precious stones that twinkled in the ancient engravings. It was the most dominating object in the room, but out of place somehow. It seemed lonely. Balzerth used to sit on the throne and tell Nath stories that lasted for hours.
The Dragon King was a grand storyteller. They were some of the best times. But as he became older, the stories became old and a little boring. Balzerth, once he started, was very long-winded, and the names he spoke of seemed to get longer and take forever. Nath patted the leg of the throne. "Don't run off anywhere. You might be my seat one day, though I find it hard to believe that I'll be so impossibly big at the rate I'm growing." He eyed the grand murals on the walls behind the throne. The painted images showed dragons of all sorts and kinds, flying through the skies, nestled in caves, or snaking through the willow wax. All the images seemed to move ever so slightly with life of their own. It wasn't an illusion. He could leave and come back days later, and all of the images would have moved elsewhere completely. This was where he came when he was younger, and his father taught him about the dozens of kinds of dragons. Nath learned about their powers, too. The only thing he never learned was how to get them to like him. He sighed through his nose and resumed his trek to the other side of the throne room. Coming to the end of the path, he dumped out the treasure and sat down. 20 loads down, 980 to go. That should do it anyway. He picked up a coin and flicked it with his fingers. It shot across the room, hitting an adjacent pile. A waterfall of coins skidded down, revealing the edge of a picture frame. There were plenty of paintings in the chamber. The largest ones, even bigger than Nath, were propped against the walls. Some of them hung from gigantic pylons and pillars that held up spots in the vaulted ceiling. Nath crossed the path, climbed up the pile of treasure, and wiggled out the painting. It was wider than his shoulders were broad, and even longer than he was tall. He held it out. It was a portrait of a lovely woman against the backdrop of a star-filled sky. Her wavy platinum locks framed her fair skin. Her soft, pale lips smiled slightly as her head tilted a little to the side. Her extraordinary eyes sparkled like diamonds. The detail was so realistic, Nath found himself trying to find his breath. He'd seen plenty of elves and some pictures of humans, but no woman was anything like this. "Whoa, she's a gorgeous thing, isn't she?" a playful woman's voice stated. Nath jumped and dropped the painting. "Mayfon, quit sneaking up on me. You aren't even supposed to be here."
"Oh, it looks like someone is in love with a pretty woman in the painting. Kissy, kissy."
Nath frowned at her.
"Oh, Nath, don't be mad. She's very fetching for what appears to be a human woman, and the work is extraordinary."
She squatted down with her dark eyes fastened on the picture. Mayfon's flaxen hair was pulled back in a braid. She seemed about Nath's age and had been his closest companion since she arrived a few decades ago. In a way, they had grown up together, though she was more mature. She had a teardrop face, cat-shaped eyes that caught everything, and a dazzling smile that a blind man could see. Her sleeveless shirt was buttoned up to her neck just below the chin, and she wore all black from neck to toe. It was a casual ensemble that fit snugly on her elven frame. She cocked her head.
"Do you love her, Nath?"
"Stop being silly. How can I love her? I just saw her." He picked up the picture. "But she certainly is worthy of my attention. If I didn't know better, I'd say that she is almost as striking as me." Holding her stomach, Mayfon erupted with laughter.
"Oh, you are so vain. You good-looking, now that's rich. Why, you are the most unhandsome dragon I ever saw."
He tossed his hair. "That's only because I look like a human."
"You are only an average human at best."
She climbed to the top of the pile and stuck her face in front of the picture.
"Unlike me, who's the prettiest of the elves?"
"You always say that, and I know you don't mean it. Your eyes stay glued to me even when you think I don't know you're looking." Eyes narrowing, he said, "I wonder who this is." Mayfon grabbed the painting. Trying to pull the picture out of his grip, she said,
"It's nobody real, because no human looks like this. It's inhuman, something from a dream. Trust me."
"You don't know. I think it's real. It can only be real, even if it is otherworldly. Maybe she lives beyond the murals."
"Maybe she's been dead millennia already. Who cares?"
She yanked the frame out of his grasp. "Careful," Nath said with a smile. Mayfon's eyes grew big. She fought for balance and footing. Coins slid beneath her feet.
"Whoa, this is heavy."
She fell backward and slid down the hill of coins all the way to the bottom. An avalanche of coins covered her completely. Only her hands were still stuck out holding the picture frame. There was a muffled, "Help me!" coming from under the pile. Nath slid down the pile, picked up the picture, and gently set it aside. Kneeling, he dusted treasure from her face. That picture frame was heavy, wasn't it? She spit out a ruby as big as her knuckle.
I hate you.
He reached into the coins, grabbed her hand, and pulled her out. I know. I hate you, too. They both burst out laughing. Chapter 4
Nath, you've finished yet?
Mayfawn sat at the edge of Bowser's throne, legs crossed and kicking.
I'm getting bored watching you work.
You are welcome to help. Nath finished loading up another wheelbarrow and tossed the shovel aside. He wiped off his sweaty face on a towel. I only have a few dozen more loads to go. He gestured to the treasure that had dwindled down to a manageable pile. See? You can handle this.
Oh, no. This is your punishment, not mine. Watching you is my punishment.
She made a playful smile as her eyes grazed over his muscular body.
Sort of.
If Nath noticed her attention, he didn't show it. Instead, he pushed the wheelbarrow down the path. As he passed her, he said, If you get caught sitting on my father's throne, you're going to be punished, too.
Oh, he doesn't care. Balzerth is gentle and wise. We're just children to him. He would forgive me, don't you think?
Nah, I suppose. Nath ambled down the path and dumped the treasure on the new pile he'd created. He stretched his aching back and groaned. Oh, I can't wait to rest. This is awful. Who would think being in a chamber filled with such wonderful treasure could be so miserable?
It is a burden, Mayfawn replied. True treasure comes from simpler things.
Nath made his way back to the pile. Such as?
Well, having friends to share time with, working in the gardens, nurturing young dragons.
Her eyes lit up.
Oh, how I enjoy that.
They try to bite me. She giggled.
They do not. You exaggerate.
No, I don't. They hate me. All of them. Mayfawn hopped off the throne, landing lightly on her feet. She followed after Nath.
Now, are you feeling sorry for yourself again, Pouting is not an admirable quality for a king's son.
Nath picked up the shovel and got to work. How can I be Prince of the Dragons when I look like this? If it's absurd to me, then it's absurd to them. You know it. He dumped a shovelful in the wheelbarrow. And I know it. What if you had to go and live among men? Wouldn't you feel out of place?
Oh, no. I am certain they would worship me.
She untangled her honey-colored hair from the braid. The bouncy locks fell perfectly over her shoulders, somehow further enhancing her natural beauty.
Don't you agree?
Nath swallowed. He thought, yes, but said, I don't know. I haven't been around any humans to know. Maybe they would be frightened to death of you.
Ha! They would not be frightened. In awe, yes, but not scared like little children.
You really are a piece of work. Nath refilled the barrel. He enjoyed Mayfawn and her wit. If it weren't for her, he might go crazy. The other elves who served the dragons were friendly, but more as a matter of courtesy. Mayfawn was a true friend. She cared for him. Have you spent any time with the humans?
I studied all about the other races in Elohim. I know all that I need to know.
You don't think that gave you a jaded point of view? After all, what you've learned would be from an elven perspective. He grabbed the handles of the wheelbarrow and moved on.
The elves are the purest of the races, she said,
following behind him with her hands behind her back.
What they record is a neutral view of things. Hence, I believe what I read. The orcs are stupid, the dwarves are difficult, humans are unpredictable, gnomes are impolite, halflings are childish, and ogres are smelly. Shall I go on?
No, no, your research is beyond convincing. So deep, well thought out, and thorough. I'm overwhelmed, he laughed. And what does it say about dragons?
Well, there are many kinds, and we are still learning about them. That is what I'm trained for, being one of the Triadine. So far, you are the most interesting.
He dumped the wheelbarrow. I'm not even a dragon. How can I be interesting?
You are, and you are a good, obedient son. Not all dragons heed the Dragon King's words. They seek their own purposes elsewhere.
She put her hand on his wrist, and her voice lowered to a whisper.
Many wander far from home and become wicked. They serve themselves and not Dragonhome. Many others are lost, never to return home. It troubles Balzerth. We wonder why that is.
Dragons, like any other race, can make their own choices. Nazambor's a large world filled with many dangers and delights, the way I understand it. Dragons can make the most of their own lives, but they always have Dragonhome to come home to. Sometimes they just need help finding it. That's what Father says.
The races fear the dragons. They hunt and kill them. They call Dragonhome the Mountain of Doom.
She plucked an emerald-studded tiara from the treasure pile and placed it on her head.
How does it look?
It makes your head look really big.
Oh, shut it.
She slapped his arm, then slung the tiara away.
Anyway, the races capture and torture dragons. They turn their scales into clothing, sell dragon blood for potions. Their teeth, claws, eyes, or horns are used for decoration or jewelry. They're very nasty out there.
How do you know these things? He started pushing the wheelbarrow along.
It's well known in the world, Nath. You are sheltered here. You only know what Balzerth tells you. I'm sure he only tells you what you need to know, and he is wise for it, I'm sure. But you should know more, just in case.
Her voice trailed off. He stopped and looked down at her. Her head came to the top of his chest. Just in case what?
Oh, nothing. I'm just rambling. Don't pay any attention to me. I've said enough already.
He grabbed her arm. No, finish your thoughts. Out with it.
I was just going to say, just in case something ever happens to your father. You'll have to know more about the world of men. What if he leaves to the land beyond the murals and does not return for a very long while? You would be in charge, wouldn't you?
Nath's brow crinkled. He glanced at the mural behind the throne. It was a place where only dragons could go that his father said he'd learn all about one day. Usually older dragons went to the land beyond the murals when their work in the world of the races was no longer needed, but only his father could go back and forth. It was something he didn't fully understand. No, the dragons have a council. They run things when he's gone. I just do whatever.
I think you should be in charge of things. After all, you are the prince.
Nath shook his head and started pushing the wheelbarrow down the path. You really need to temper your imagination before it becomes a dangerous thing. Why don't you run along, Mayfun? I'll find you later. I just want to finish this on my own.
I'm sorry, Nath. Have I offended you?
Her big dark eyes were sad. I said I'll see you later. Chapter 5 A couple of days passed. Nath ran along the rocky ledges of Dragonhome. He hopped over chasms and gullies of the barren mountainside. The mountain was at least a league of walking if he went all the way around the bottom. Its rocky crevices and ledges led to a small flat on the tip-top that hovered just beneath the first layer of clouds in the sky. About halfway up, lava flowed in bright, burning seams of orange down into the sulfurous springs below. It formed liquid pools at the bottom. One thing could always be said, Dragonhome never got cold. Nath angled up to a ledge that jutted out several feet like a flat nose. He took a seat on the edge and stared out at the vast land in the distance. For some reason, he was agitated. Mayfawn's words bothered him deeply. Even though the dragons were nothing short of rude to him, he hated that the races hunted them. It didn't seem right. At the same time, when she suggested that his father might leave for some time, it went right through him. It was just something about the way she said it that rankled him. If Balzerth did leave, shouldn't Nath be in charge? Or at least he should be in the conversation. Of course the Dragon Council could handle things in Balzerth's absence. They always did. But next time, perhaps, Nath should pay closer attention. Next time Father goes, I'm going to attend all of the Council's meetings. After all, it's my right. But I've been before, and they are so boring. He clenched his teeth. And so long. Not that I have anything better to do, but dragons talking takes forever. Nath sat a very long time. The sun hung high in the sky just beneath the clouds, lowering an inch at a time until the bottom dipped behind the trees. The sky became a light purple, a little gloomy but promising in an uncanny sort of way. I do love the sunset. Tired of being out of place, Nath often considered leaving. His father told him that he could leave when he was ready, but not before. What Balzerth didn't say was whether or not he would leave as a dragon or a man. Nath waited for the change to happen. He wanted wings and scales like his father, but they had yet to come. He wanted to see the world with his own eyes and find out what it had to offer. I guess I'll just have to wait. Forever. A small winged dragon flew right in front of him. Its scales were orange, and it was little longer than the length of his arm. Its wings beat quickly as it chirped out words in Dragonese. Training? Now? Nath sighed. Fine, I'll be there, little brother. The dragon snorted at him, narrowed its eyes, and flew away. Nice talking to you too, you little winged rodent. Inside the mountain, Nath walked down the main tunnel that spiraled and weaved through the mountain. It was a vast, hollowed-out channel, more than large enough for Bowser.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?